Let's turn, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's unite our hearts together at the throne of grace and seek the help of God for his word today. Let's unite in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee. And like the hymn writer, we just say we cannot breathe enough of thee, O gentle breeze of love. And our God, we'd ask that thou wouldst blow by thy breath into our midst today. May there be that going in the midst of the mulberry trees, that little breath that indicates that God is on the move. We'd ask thee that we might meet with thee in a special way today. Bless and be with us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. My text is verse 18 of this portion of Scripture. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." The Christian life starts with a birth. It starts with a new birth. Just as when we come into this world and start life and we have the day of our birth, so it is with the Christian. The Bible shows that in order for a person to have real life, abiding life, eternal life, that they must be born of the Spirit of God. The Apostle John, writing in his epistle, or in his gospel rather, said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born of God, or which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And we remember how the Lord said to Nicodemus, the rabbi, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And that begs a question straight away, of course, and that is whether you have been born again. Whether have you been changed from life unto death? Has there been that time when the power and principle of eternal life began to work in your heart and in your soul? And are you sure today that you're on your way to heaven and have the grace of God within your heart and in your soul? You see, you can never grow and you can never have life or blessing until you are born again of the Spirit of God. Now, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is man seeking to go up to God, but Christianity and the true gospel is that God came down to provide salvation for men. So have you eternal life today? Are you born again? Are you on the road? Have you life in your soul and in your heart? But when a person is born, you expect them to grow. It's a very the little one will not remain a tiny baby. It's a very unusual thing. And it would be a very frightening thing if that child did not grow and begin to develop and begin to progress. And the Bible says it's the same with the Christian life. When a person is saved, that's not the end of it, but they have to grow, they have to develop, and they have to flourish. And Peter says here, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." The Bible describes some Christians as being babes, as being like little ones. And you know, the baby, it depends upon its mother and father. It has to be protected, it has to be guided. Otherwise, it'll get into all sorts of trouble and perhaps get into a place where it's in danger of its life. And it's the same with the Christian. You know, in the baby stage, in the stage of infancy, the child of God perhaps doesn't know much. They're liable to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And they're liable to go into all sorts of trouble. And they're able to get into all sorts of difficulties. And they are prone to that childlikeness. And that's why you need to grow. Also, we know about children is that they are prone to childlike attitudes. A child is a very selfish individual. He is very prone just to demand something. And they want what they want, and if they don't get what they want, they're liable to go into a fit or throw some kind of tantrum. And it's the same with the Christian. Those that are babes in Christ
are very liable to make a fuss about nothing at all. They're very liable to make some kind of fuss about something that has no importance whatsoever. And it's a very dangerous thing to be in a church that is full of spiritual babes if there are not many who are mature to guide them along the way. Because there will be fights, and there will be disagreements, and there will be misunderstandings of all sorts. And Peter says, it's a dangerous thing, it's an awful thing to stay a spiritual babe. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We live in a day, sadly, when many of God's people remain spiritual infants far longer than they ought to remain. You know, we look back on days gone by, and you can remember the congregation of days gone by and other congregations, and we think of how there were those that were stalwarts in the faith, those that you looked to as real godly people, people that you could rely upon, people that would stand solidly, people whose opinion was going to be right because it was based upon the Word of God. Sadly, today there are so many, and they haven't grown up the way that they should. And if that is us today, then we need to take heed to the command that we need to grow up. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so for today, we just want to look at the precept here which says we're to grow in grace. We look at God's command to grow in grace. And there are a number of things about this command that I want you to see. First of all, I want you to notice the essence of growth in grace. What is this? What does it mean to grow in grace? What is the meaning of the term to grow in grace? Well, of course, there are a number of things that it doesn't mean. Because in the Bible, the word grace is used in a number of different ways. Usually, the word grace in the Bible is used to describe the grace of God, the free, unmerited favor of God. And when it speaks of grace in the Bible, that's very often what it is speaking about. But that grace cannot grow. That grace does not develop. God cannot be more gracious to us than He is at the present. God cannot be more loving to us than He is at the present. The hymn writer said, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus He giveth and giveth and giveth again. He has infinite grace as far as that is concerned. It cannot grow. Also, the Bible speaks about saving grace. But when He speaks here about growing in grace, that's not what He means. It's not saving grace. Because you're either saved or you're not. He cannot give more saving grace or less saving grace. If you're saved today in this meeting, you can't be more saved than you are right now. Or if you are not saved, you cannot be less saved than you are right now. Now, I know that God will bring His people to Himself, and in glory we'll know much more of the blessings of our salvation. But if you're saved, you're saved. I remember speaking to a Church of Ireland minister, and he said to me, you know, I grew into my salvation. Well, I said to him, well, if you are saved, then there must have been a day when you were changed from death to life. There must have been that time when you were converted. There is not a less salvation and a more salvation. You're either saved or you're not. So when it speaks about growing in grace, it doesn't speak of the grace of God, and it doesn't speak of saving grace. But what does it mean? Well, it means growing in the strength and the vigor of the graces of God. It means us growing into God. It means growing into godliness. Now, that's the command that Peter brings to us today. We are to grow in grace and grow in godliness. Now, you notice some things about this grace. It is a given. If you are saved, you will grow in grace. It's one of the marks of being saved. See, when a baby is born, it will grow. When the little calf is born, it will grow. When the little plant, the little sapling is put in the ground, it will grow because there is life. And if there's life at all, then you must grow. You have to grow. If you're not growing, there's something deadly wrong. If you haven't progressed at all since you were saved, then you've got to go round and look at yourself again, because perhaps you're not saved at all. Life must bring forth growth. And this is a given. So this is a challenge right away. Have you grown? Can you say, yes, I've drawn closer to God. I've grown in the graces that God has given me. Because that is one of the evidences of being born again of the Spirit of God. If you're beginning to grow, if you're beginning to draw closer to God. If you haven't begun to grow, if you haven't drawn closer to God, then there's something wrong. Grace, this growing in grace, ought to be a given. But not only is it a given, but it is godly. It is growth in godliness. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I want to make a contrast here, and it's going to be a little bit hard to explain, a little bit hard to understand, so listen to me please. I want to make a contrast between adding something to your life and actually growing in grace. Now, in order to illustrate that, I'm going to take two examples, Martin Luther and John Wesley. Now, when Martin Luther was young in his life, he had an interest in religion. He had indeed an interest in the salvation of his soul. And he joined a monastery, became part of the Augustinian order, and he went through penances, and he added to his life penances and fasts. And he came to within an inch of his life. He beat himself so much in order to gain the blessing of God and the salvation of God. He went on pilgrimages. He did everything he could in order to win God's salvation and God's favour. But you know what he found at the end of it? His life was empty. There was no growth. Now he had added these things to his life. He had added religion. He had added Bible reading. He added so many things. He prayed, he searched, and he tried to find God, but there was nothing there. He had added things to his life, but he wasn't growing. It was the same with John Wesley. Now, before John Wesley was saved, he was a man who had an interest in things of God. He formed what was called the Holy Club in the University of Oxford. And they went through religious exercises, and they had Bible study, and they prayed so many hours in the day, would put many of God's people to shame, the amount of prayers that John Wesley went through. Then he joined the ministry. He went as a missionary to America, to Georgia and America. But at the end of it all, he said, I had no life. There was nothing there. There was nothing in my heart. And he had added religion to his life, but he hadn't grown in grace. Now, do you see the contrast? Now, growing in grace then is not to do with reading the Bible. Now, if I do grow in grace, I will read the Bible. It's not how much prayer I do. Now, if I grow in grace, I will pray. But it's not necessarily that if I read the Bible and pray that I grow in grace. There's a contrast there. You see, growth in grace is something inward. Growth in grace is bringing me to God. Growth in grace is that full communion with God. It's not just going through the mechanics of reading the Bible or going through religious exercises. It is actually bringing me near to God. I wonder if we are nearer to God tonight or today than we have ever been. Have we been brought near into His presence? Can I say today that I hold communion with Him, and I know His presence and His blessing day by day. So growth and grace is a given, and it is godliness. Not only is it that, but it is gradual. See, when a person grows, they grow gradually. You see the little ones, and if you have been away for a year or two, you see them sprout up, and you see how much progress they have made. But if you're with those little ones day by day, you do not see the growth that is taking place because it is gradual. You don't expect a little one to suddenly sprout up overnight into an adult. You don't expect a little sapling that you put in the ground to be a bush tomorrow, because growth is gradual. Now, I'm saying something controversial here, because there are those that would teach that just as you're justified, so you come to God and you receive sanctification and you're made wholly righteous as you come to God and seek His face. But that contradicts what we're told here. We're to grow in grace. It is something that takes place day by day. The New Testament appeals to us to grow, to develop, to progress. And that's a daily thing. Now, those that are babes in Christ very often look for the spectacular. You know, you get people that go from meeting to meeting, hoping somehow that some meeting that they go to, something spectacular will take place, and suddenly they'll be transformed into mature Christians, and they'll live life as they've never lived it before. Of course, it never happens. You see, real growth in grace is a day-by-day thing. It's just as it were applauding. We read the Bible, we learn more about the Lord day by day. We seek His presence more and more every day. And I know that babes in Christ and immature people look for the spectacular, and they'll go to this meeting and that meeting and the other meeting. But it's not like that. You grow in grace. It's a daily thing. Putting the Word of God into practice in your life day by day. That's how you grow in grace. It's a hard thing. A difficult thing. It's going to cause you to put in effort and put in work into it. But that's the only way that you'll grow in grace. Now, I know that there are times when you might go into a particular meeting and you might have a growth spurt, I would call it. You have a growth spurt and you might sit in a meeting and you might grow more in that meeting than you have done maybe in the past 6 months. But you know, growth usually is a gradual thing. And we need to put in the effort day by day. Growth then is a given. It is a growth to godliness, a growth that is gradual. But then it is a growth that is graduated, you see, because people grow at different rates. You can stunt your growth. You know, I wonder if you've ever seen the little bonsai trees. The little Japanese art form of bonsai trees. And you can get a little tree and it is maybe 30, 40, maybe more years old. And it just looks like a 30 or 40 year old tree. But it's only 9 or 10 inches tall or 6 inches tall. Because they have clipped the shoots of that tree and they have stunted its growth. Now there are people by backsliding, by the environment that they are in, by the company that they keep, they can stunt their growth. And we, by what we do, can stunt the growth and knock back the growth that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because you are 20 years on the road doesn't mean that you are more spiritual than the person that has been 1 or 2 years on the road. That one or two years on the road might have grown up and they might be more spiritual than anybody else. You see, growth in grace is graduated. Not all grow at the same rate. But we need to grow as fast as we can. And we need to know more. And the more we know of the Savior, the more blessing that we will have in our lives and in our souls. So we see the essence of growth in grace. It is something that is a given. If we're saved, we will grow. It is godliness. It is gradual. It is graduated. I wonder if you're growing in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not only do we see the essence of growth and grace, but I want you to think about the evidence of growth and grace. How will I know that I'm growing in grace? What are the signs of being growing in grace? Well, first of all, I want to say that growth in grace is a growth in love. Turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and look at verse 12. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Now, of course, those that are growing in grace will increase in love. And the first manifestation of that will be love for the Savior. We will love the Lord. That's the first evidence of growth in grace. Now, a little baby is very selfish. And when it starts off, all it demands is for itself. It'll cry for its feed. It'll cry when it is hungry. It will cry when it needs to be changed. And the little baby is selfish. But as it grows up, the love begins to develop. First of all, it will have the little smile towards the mother or father. And as it grows, the more it grows, the more love that little one will have towards its parents. That's the same with us. The more we grow, the more love we ought to have for the Savior. Now at first we'll depend upon the Lord and He'll supply us, and we'll go with all our petitions to God. We'll draw near into the presence of God because we want something. But you know, a mature Christian is one who draws into the presence of the Lord just because we love Him. You know, when you were at home, you went to your mother or father to get something, particularly when you were small. But maybe if your mother or father are alive today, you go to them because, why? You love them. You go because you want to be in their company. You want to spend time with them. Now it's the same with the Christian. Those that know and are developed and mature in their Christianity go to be with the Lord because we love Him and we want to be with Him. And we want a whole communion with Him. We'll delight to be in His presence. And then not only will we love Him, but we will love others. We will love the brethren. There will be a Christ-likeness in our love for those around about us. We'll show our love to the brethren and to those round about. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." It's one of the marks of the true child of God, of the mature Christian, that they love God and love their brethren. I know there are those that are selfish in their Christianity, and they're running here and there to find entertainment for themselves. But we come here to worship God and to give our praise and adoration to the God of heaven. We love Him because He first loved us. Not only will there be a growth in love, but there will be a growth in our spiritual outlook. In verse 11 of the portion of Scripture that we read, Peter asks a very profound and far-reaching question. He says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," speaking of the earth, "what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" He says, what type of person should you be? And then he says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." You see, Peter says here, you're not to have your eyes upon the things of this earth, but your eyes ought to be upon the things to come, the eternal things, the new heavens and the new earth. The mark of an immature Christian is one whose eyes are upon the earth, whose eyes are upon the here and now. But godly people are people that lift up their eyes and look beyond and see those things that lie beyond our gaze. Our interest is not in the things of the here and now, but our eyes are upon the Lord. There's a growth in spiritual outlook. And then there's a growth in something else. There's a growth in faith. Now turn back to Thessalonians again, and turn back to 2nd Thessalonians, and if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says there, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." So our faith grows. Now, as we go on in the Christian life, the more we know of God, the more we realize that He fulfills His word, and He answers prayer, and He fulfills His promises. You see, we get to know that by experience. We experience answers to prayer. We experience the fact that God never lets us down. And we experience the fact that if we draw near to Him, that He'll draw near to us. And that experience adds to our faith, and our faith grows, and we begin to trust in the promises of God. You know, the old devil would love to get us down and get us pessimistic and get us discouraged and get us to fix our eyes upon this old world. But the Lord says, no, lift up your eyes and depend upon Me. Let your faith grow. And when your faith grows, that is an evidence of growth in grace. And then there's another evidence of growth in grace, and that's holiness of character. The child of God will be one who shows much of that grace of God in his life, the grace of patience, the grace of joy and long suffering. Those graces will be in his life. See a little child? When a little child wants to settle a quarrel, what it will do, very often it will head out. It will fight. It will seek to settle its quarrels in a belligerent way. But what does a more mature person do? Well, he will talk about it. He will air his grievances and try to settle it in an amicable kind of a way. Now that's the same with those that have grown in grace. Now there are many people who will rub us up the wrong way. There are many people who will say things about us maybe that they don't mean. They will pass little comments about what we do or say things about what we haven't done, and they will say all sorts of things, and that comes into the church. What will an immature Christian do? They will rise up on their heels and they will seek to defend themselves. But what does a mature Christian do? A mature Christian will take all the scorning and take all the things that are heaped upon them, and they will bear it with patience. What did Peter say in 1 Peter 3 verse 14? He speaks of the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now that's against all that the world teaches. The world teaches assertiveness. Put your own point of view first. Put yourself first. Make sure that you're heard. Oh, the Bible says there's an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which it says is in the sight of God of great price. Now, when you grow in grace, that'll be one of the evidences. You'll not rise up on your heels about every wee thing. You'll not think that somebody is getting at you or seeking to do you down. You will bear it because you have that Christ-like spirit in your soul. And then there's one more thing we have to mention because it's in the text. And that is that growth in grace is growth in knowledge. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice that it is knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, not knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that could come up here and give a theological lecture about the attributes of the Savior and about his death and about his atonement, and they could tell you the ins and outs of what our Savior did, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's one thing to know about him and what he did, but do you know him? Do you know him? Have you an intimacy with him? Do you know him day by day? Do you speak to him and come into his presence? Do you know him? Those are the evidences of growth in grace. But then there's something else that I want you to see in the text, and that's the experience of growth in grace. Because I hope now that as we come to this point in the sermon, that you're asking yourself, how can I grow in grace? How can I go on in my Christian experience? I hope that that's the question that you're asking. Well, if we grow in our natural lives, how do we grow? We grow by feeding ourselves. You're not going to grow very much if you don't feed yourself. If you don't have the right food and the right amount of food, your growth is going to be stunted. And what is our food to help us grow in grace? It's the Word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So how do you grow? You feed yourself on the Word of God. And men and women, it's simply like this. If you're not feeding on the book, you're not growing. If you're not reading and studying God's precious word, you can't be growing because you're not feeding yourself. Now, we need to read the word of God and we need to study it. And that's simple, but it is absolutely the way to grow. You've got to feed. There's no growth unless you feed. And not only are we to feed on the word of God, but we're going to need something else we're going to grow, and that's freedom from illness. Freedom from that which would stunt our growth, because there are people that have been struck down by illnesses, and in the illness it has stunted their growth or stopped them growing in some way. or there is some poison in their system and it makes them weak and it stops the full maturity that they ought to come to. And it's the same with us. We've got to stop any poison entering into our lives. The poisons of this world. The poisons of sin. We've got to stand clear of those things. Now in this world there's so much that surrounds us. You look at the advertisements that are on the television or in the press or in the magazines that you see on the newsstands. And it's all the flesh. It's all to do with the flesh. And there's a great pushing of the flesh today. Now, if you allow yourself to feed on that, if you allow yourself to be influenced by that, that will stop your growth. That's one sure thing. It will stop your growth. The things that the world puts out, if we feed on those things, it will stop our growth. So you are to feed. There is to be freedom from illness. And then there is to be fervent exercise. You enable yourself to grow if you are out exercising day by day. Some of these fellows are out exercising on the Monday and trying to build up the muscles and one thing and another. But it helps you to grow. It helps you to, if you practice and keep on. Now, it's no good if you just go out one Monday night and don't go out the rest. I'm doing an advertisement for Graham here. But if you only go out one Monday night and you don't do the rest, then it's going to be no good to you. You've got to keep at it. And it's the same with the things of God. You've got to keep putting these things into effect. You've got to practice what the Word of God says and keep exercising and put it into practice. And it's just the same way as we grow naturally. We grow spiritually. We feed. We need to be free from illness and free from poison. And we need to be fervent in our exercise. Now those are very simple things. But the thing is that we need to put them into effect in our lives. But grow in grace, he says. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you growing today? Are you growing? Can you say, yes, I've grown more. And I am further mature and I can see that I've progressed from what I was like last year at this time. Or do you have to say that your growth has been stunted? Because if your growth is stunted, you need to get back to the place where it was stunted and stop whatever it is. And stop whatever it is that has stunted your growth or start doing what you haven't been doing. And make sure that you grow in grace. Those of you that are not saved, you can't grow in grace until you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't grow until you have life. The Lord Jesus is the life. And He is the one who can enable you to grow up and to be in that place of heavenly bliss for all eternity. Will you put your trust in Him? And if you know Him, the Bible says, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's just bow, please, in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee today. We bless Thee for the fact that we can grow in grace. Though God, we pray that it might be true of us that we are growing. Growing on with Thee, progressing. Getting stronger every day, putting on the muscles that will enable us to stand in the evil day. O God, help us to grow with Thee and to follow Thee. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts and bless and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.